Ryan Doyle off today. Tamara Cherry here for Ryan. Richard Krause is back. Booze and reviews in just a moment, but indulge me, Richard, and just let me say how amazing it is to have you back, my friend.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back. I've been sitting here not really able to do very much for a couple of weeks. And so to be able to sit and speak with another human other than my wife, who has been amazing, but it's very nice.
I saw you on CTV today and you look fantastic. And you know, for those that don't know, we talked a couple of times on text, but you had surgery.
I did. I had a tumor removed from my chest. And when it was taken out and all said and done, while I was recovering, my wife was talking to the doctor. And, you know, whatever it is, he lost a lot of blood or whatever it was that the doctor says. But in this case, he happened to say the tumor was the size of your fist. Wow. So it was much larger than we thought it was going to be. But it's gone and it is non-cancerous. It was it's something that I've had for a long time. Wow. A lot of people have them. Sometimes they grow. Sometimes they don't. Mine happened to grow rather rapidly and had to come out.
Now, this growth as well, it was inside your chest and it was near your heart, right?
Yeah, my aorta. And so they had to open up my chest. So I now have Frankenstein style stitches all up and down my chest. But, you know, it is amazing how quickly you can start to recover. I was out of the hospital the next day and at home, and certainly I've been taking it easy since I've been here. But it really is incredible. The treatment that I got, the follow-up that I have, there's been nurses coming by, there's been all sorts of things. I just got off the phone with another nurse who phoned to check up and make sure that everything was going well. And I have nothing but gratitude for all the people that looked after me over the last little while. I was in what they call a step down room. So after surgery, you go recover, you wake up a little bit, then you go to a step down room. And then if necessary, you move to a regular hospital room after that. And the man next to me, who I didn't see because we're all kind of curtained off, had just had his stomach removed. And, you know, it was a kind of situation where I could hear everything that was happening. But I have to tell you that the nurses and the doctors that dealt with him were unbelievable. And he had a sense of humor about himself that to me guarantees, I think, that he has, you know, a healthy future ahead of him, despite this huge medical setback. Wow. Because I do believe that a good attitude leads to good health. And this guy, you know, honestly made me laugh the whole time I was there. And I was there from something amazing, much less serious than he was.
Well, we are glad you're back, and we do love you, but that doesn't mean we're not going to put you to work.
I'm ready.
Easily, I think the biggest single release, and I think you and I just on Booze and Reviews have talked about this movie being pushed back a number of times. Now we get to finally talk about James Bond, No Time to Die.
Yeah, it is unlike any other Bond movie. It is not only the longest one, it's almost 3 hours long.
What?
It, yeah, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
For an extra hour?
This is why I tell
Suck
people
up,
because
Jerry.
People have babysitters and things that they have to take into account with this. But it's almost 3 hours long. It is Daniel Craig's last time playing James Bond after 5 movies in 15 years. And what they've done here is given the character a chance to really take any loose ends that may have been dangling from the other 4 movies and wrap them up with a little bow at the end of this film. They have given James Bond an arc unlike any other actor who's ever played the character. We, you know, grew up loving Sean Connery and Pierce Brosnan and Timothy Dalton and Roger Moore and George Lazenby as the character, but they all brought something to it. But the character was essentially a suave super spy who had some cool gadgets. Mm-hmm. The Daniel Craig character was much different. They revealed his backstory, the emotionality of the character. They brought a great deal more to it. And all that comes to a head in this film. So this is not as action-packed as you might expect from a 3-hour James Bond movie, but it is certainly packed with emotional fireworks.
I like that.
And is this, in your opinion, one of the best Bond movies thus far? I mean, it's the swan song, so are you leaning into it a little more positively than you maybe would another one?
Well, the thing about this one is that it is so different. And the thing that I liked about this, and it's the kind of, you know, the thing that isn't in the movie. So at the very end of the movie, a title card comes up and it says James Bond will return, but it gives you no hint as to who will be playing James Bond, what will happen with the character. Will they reboot the entire series? Will it be set in the future? They tell you nothing. And that to me is exciting. Mm-hmm. That to me means that, you know, sometime in the next couple of years, because these movies take a little while to make, we're going to see a completely different kind of James Bond and a reinvention of a character that's been with us for almost 60 years and on film. And so I'm really curious to see what happens here with this, because I have liked the James Bond movies all the way along. I liked this one. I think Casino Royale is still probably my favorite of all the Daniel Craig James Bonds. Mm-hmm. But this one feels different, man. And there's no time for spoilers here. Hashtag no time for spoilers. So I won't give you any details. Okay. But it does feel much, much different than any movie that's come before it. And that is remarkable, given that they've been making James Bond movies for almost 60 years.
So obviously lots of signatures with a James Bond character. Let's do 25 and 26 back to back, Mike, with this signature Bond move.
Dry martini.
Oui, monsieur.
Wait. 3 measures of Gordon's, 1 of vodka, 1/2 measure of quinoa lily. Shake it over rice and then add a thin slice of lemon peel.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'll have one of those.
So will I.
Certainly. My friend, bring me one as well. Keep the fruit.
Vodka martini. Shaken or stirred?
Do I look like I give a damn?
a bit of a play on the Bond drinks there, and a bit of a history of the martini, courtesy of Richard Krause.
Yeah, so that first one was a Vesper martini, and he gave you the instructions. You have to be careful with those. It's 3 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of vodka, 1/2 ounce of Lillet. That's a classic, the shaken, not stirred vodka martini. But in the books and in the movie, in the movies, James Bond drank way more champagne than he did any of the hard liquor drinks. So, you know, keep that in mind as you're going through here. But he did not, when he wasn't drinking champagne, it wasn't always martinis. He used to drink a lot of scotch and sodas. He would drink vodka and sodas and gin and soda, but he made it clear that he wouldn't take regular soda. It had to be Perrier water for the soda. And if he was going to have what he called a poor drink, which was a liquor and some soda, he would put Angostura bitters in it just to kind of amp up the taste a little bit. He also drank Americanos, which is Campari, which is one of my favorite drinks, some sweet vermouth, 2 ounces of each, and then some more Perrier, some soda water on top of that. And that was kind of an afternoon drink for him. And when he drank beer, and this is the one that kind of surprised me most of all, when James Bond drank beer, it was Miller High Life. In the novels. Yeah. In the movies, it's Heineken because they paid $65 million for the product placement. But in the books, he would drink Miller High Life for breakfast with his eggs.
I have to
with
ask.
With his eggs? For breakfast?
Yep.
He was crafting the buzz. Maybe he's going to get ready to tailgate. I have to ask you, in the Vesper martini, you said gin and vodka. A couple people picked up on this as well at 7-10-10. What was that third ingredient?
It's Lillet.
Lillet.
L-I-L-L-E-T. It is a digestive. You use it in loads of drinks. And the thing is, once you open it, you have to use it fairly quickly because it doesn't last all that long, but it's a wine-based liquor. And it is delicious. It adds a lot of kick to a lot of cocktails, but you don't need a lot of kick with 3 ounces of gin and another ounce of vodka.
You know, for people that say, I don't get no kicks from champagne, Richard Krause, you're back. We get a kick out of you, and we're super stoked you're back. Thanks, pal.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me.
Richard Krause, Thanksgiving.
Booze and reviews.
Thanks, you too.
Very happy Thanksgiving to you.